because I just want to be faithful here to pray for the president. He is, when he began his campaign and then his presidency, he was accused of this, what we know now as nationalism. I really wasn't aware of the term when he began. Not sure how popular the term was, but the slogan, Make America Great Again, sounds almost self-centered. It's something like, well, Brandon just said this, and a lot of people I know in ministry are returning to prioritizing their family. Aaron Simmons, like everybody that I know that's been here, they're all prioritizing family and pushing ministry back a little bit so that their priority in life is taking care of family, like putting that first. When President Trump came into office, that was what he did. Make America great again. We were, of course, it was nefarious. It actually wasn't what it looked like. It was bad and evil. We were sending countless millions of dollars, probably billions in some cases, to other countries and giving it to them, but they really weren't taking, they weren't taking care of their people in doing that. There were bad, evil games going on of paying and playing and negotiating. So everything that was happening was not on the up and up. As a matter of fact, very little of it was. It was all bad. He comes into town and he starts pulling this down. And the more that we learn and know about him, the more as they saw him coming, they are freaked out. And that is why the news media is like at 93% negative against him. But that's gonna go away. It is gonna go away. If a news agency purposefully collaborates, I'm not saying that right, that thing, collaborates, with false information, they do that on purpose. There are many of these news agencies that are going to come under criminal investigation, and they're going to come down. The whole Democratic Party is probably going to fall apart in the very near future because they were so deeply ingrained in all of this evil stuff. We'll know, and now the president has ordered the declassification of all the garbage that went on at his election, before his election. And it is coming out that our former president and our CIA director and director of the FBI, they were surveilling citizens, millions of citizens, for like 4 years before President Trump even came on the scene. So they were already doing illegally gathering their information. So all those conspiracy theories about all of your phones are being tapped and your information is being gathered, blah, 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 that was all true. It was collected. It was corroborated. We've lost a Supreme Court justice to this, Supreme Court Justice Roberts. He began as a conservative, and several years back, he started casting his votes in a very liberal way, like violated his own rules. He was compromised. That's what happens. They gather information against somebody because they're collecting all their information, and they hold it against them, and there's this huge amount of blackmail that has been going on in all of our politics and among the senators, congressmen, judges, and many of our judges were corrupt, and that is all getting exposed and coming down. And the president's been appointing new judges like crazy. So a lot of that stuff goes on behind the scenes. I say all that to say this man and what his fearlessness to face the enemy and to come and change the game, it's affecting the whole world. So his message of nationalism is contagious. So instead of worrying about everybody else, he comes here, he sets up camp, and he starts setting an example of taking care of his own family. And now other people in other countries, there's amazing things like in England, all of Europe, all of these different countries, they're rising up and taking charge of their countries again. On some of these bad leaders like Macron and Theresa May, I believe she did resign, if I'm not mistaken, they're out. They were not good people. They were not good people. They did not care about their people. And they're going out one after another. Just because someone has vision for righteousness, for being right, for doing what is right, and caring about people, and this example is being set, and the whole world, the level of sex crimes and pedophilia, which is against children, was unprecedented, and it was through our elite, our congressmen, our Hollywoods, just contaminated with this, and so much, and we've been paying to watch movies and to participate, supporting them, and behind the scenes, they're horrible. What they're doing and how they act and what their values are horrendous. And every day, more and more of that comes out and gets exposed. And you'll find that a huge percentage of the patriots that are fighting this fight are born-again believers. Huge percentage. And there's this sense there aren't that many of us. There are millions of us. There literally are millions of us. And there actually are only a couple thousand of the really evil, bad people. There aren't that many of them, but they control the key things. They control the media. They control the education system. They control a couple key things. And just like Lance Wallnau came out, and he identified the seven mountains of influence in our culture. And many churches, we didn't do it as much, but it's very good, the seven mountains. And it was entertainment, education, and I forget the seven, but they were seven mountains of influence. And people with bad agendas, they knew that, they understood that. And these plans have been going on for years and years and years and years and years. They're patient in their planning. And we've been busy trying to catch a train, catch a ride to heaven. First trip, first thing out. We're leaving. And that created a bad attitude in believers that we're checking out of this place. We're walking around saying that the world's an evil place and we're leaving. And it's bad. When you understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof, then what in God's name are we doing, giving it all up so easily? Now, I'll be the first to say that I have no clue what the end is going to look like. This I'm sure of. We've been in the end times since the day of Pentecost. That's how I interpret Scripture, what it says. And I've got my focus on the last two chapters of Revelation, where the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God and comes here, and it has dimensions and that place where there's the ruling and the reigning and the coming down of what's in heaven down to earth. There's a lot in the middle of that. I don't subscribe to much of anything. Like, I'm just like, I just back off from the whole thing because no one's convinced me that they know that well. Like, I hear things, I get it, I don't argue, but this I know. I'm here now, and I'm showing up, I'm taking my place and taking my role, and until he comes, when he does come, he will come in some way, form, or another. When he does, I want him to find me working, not screwing around. I want him to find me with my hand to the plow, not sitting at the bus station waiting for, the bus to come while the world goes to hell. And you have to understand, when we have this emphasis on leaving the planet quick, we are sentencing a lot of unbelievers to hell. And we need to have an attitude like, when I'm really in a job or building something, like I'm finally focused and I'm in it, even if I'm dead tired, it's hard to stop, because especially if I see the end in sight, I want to keep at it, right? Like, someone's like, hey, come home. I'm like, I'm almost done. I've got to finish this before I go. You know that thing? And I want to have that attitude here. Like, yes, I want to eat supper. I want to go to the big supper. I want to go to everything and participate in everything the Lord has for me. But once you're on task of working with the Lord and what he wants to do on this earth, you're not as anxious to leave. You're like, one more, Lord. Like, once you start flowing and truly influencing people and redeeming things and people and situations, you don't want to just like, oh, yeah, hey, bell rang, I'm out. It's 3:30, time to go home, or whatever your clock checks out at. But rather, let us labor and work. It's for their sakes. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm good to go. I can leave. But not everybody is. And so, see how it all just ties together. And we have this grace right now from God. And Mark Taylor made it so clear as he came with these prophecies and different prophetic people. That's what really changed me and my attitude about the president. The president-elect and the president now. Was the prophetic word and what the Lord was doing. And I'm like, you know, that's just like God. Picking somebody totally unlikely for us. Someone we'd be like, oh no, not him. Not hairdo. Not this guy. Not the loud hairdo guy. No, not that. We'd never, you know? Let it be a great pastor or minister or Pat Robertson or somebody, you know, that's like, oh yeah, you know, but the Lord, he never does this stuff. He picks a Cyrus. I'm Bill Johnson. This was my first indication of where to go with my heart, my attitude, and my vote. Was he said, one thing about the man, he cannot be bought. And that's exactly why they feared him the most. He cannot be bought, and he loves the country. He loves New York. He watched what happened, and he has watched what's happened around the world, what we do with our money. Like, he's been watching as a businessman going, this is ridiculous. And so he's cared about things and cares about people. And the Lord chose him and picked him, said, I'll redeem him. I'll fix him. And so there are prophetic words that he'll enter in not really knowing the Lord. Like he had this good part of him, but he needed to redeem like all the rest of us. Filthy rags, you know. You must be born again. No one gets in on merit. No one's good enough. No one makes it. We all fall short. Everyone, no matter how handsome, how popular, how wealthy, how affluent, no matter any of that, we all must be born of the Spirit. And I believe that transition has happened or is happening in this man. And the testimony is, when people pray around him, he humbly receives it. He has worship going on in the White House. I shared this. They cleaned the White House out. It was a contaminated altar mess. Like there were altars in there. They weren't Christian altars. Lots of them. Melania Trump's like, I'm not moving into that thing till it's cleaned and exercised. Let's clean this place up. I will not live there. That's how serious it was. So let's pray. We have this up. Just repeat with me. I'll try not to stop and commentate anymore. Lord, how have they increased who trouble President Trump? Many are they who rise up against him. Many are they who say of President Trump, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for President Trump, his glory and the lifter of his head. The president cried to the Lord with his voice. You heard him from your holy hill. He laid down and slept. He awoke, for the Lord sustained him. President Trump will not be afraid of ten thousands of people who have set themselves against him all around. Arise, O Lord, save President Trump, O my God. For you have struck all his enemies on the cheekbone and have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon President Trump and the people. Amen. 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 Isaiah 55, chapter 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. So here's the Lord inviting us, come buy from me. And he's inviting you into receiving abundance. And for whatever you go after with the Lord, you have the promise and the guarantee of receiving it. Don't spend your money. We exhaust ourselves often with things that don't satisfy. And this is just an admonition. Don't do that. Don't exhaust yourself over things that don't satisfy. But learn to wait on me and ask of me and I'll give you. And seek these things first and seek the kingdom first and all these things will be added to you. The Lord enjoys giving to us and granting to us and blessing us. Incline your ear, verse 3, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And just that issue of a people, God's one of his biggest grievances with Israel over the years and from the prophets is they wouldn't come near to him. They wouldn't come to him. And he longed to be close to them. It's like we're a puppy or a kitten or children, you know, little ones. We love, you know, we love to give attention to little ones, our babies, and sometimes they cooperate with that, and sometimes they're shy and bashful and whatever, or they'll stick their tongue out at you if they feel too nervous. I mean, you know, you never know what you're going to get, so you're careful. You know, you go to pick one of them up because you want to hug on them or whatever, but you're like, some of them bite, you know, they're like, you just, easy, you know, careful. But that longing, it's in so many people to reach out and grab and hold and pet and whatever. And the Lord, that is described of him often, that he has this longing to be near us, to nurture us like children. That's his longing. I wanted to draw near to you, but I get close and you get far away. My latest little child to, you know, torment is Tirza, because she's one of those. Yeah, you have to have a special pass to get close to that one. And Katie would be holding her and I'd be like, can I hug you or can I whatever? No. You know, I was just getting flat out. I said, so one of these days we're going to be friends. No, not going to happen. Just give me a hard time every chance she gets. Are you that person with the Lord? He invites every one of us. He wants to be close to every one of us. This right here is the moment. This is the watershed. This right here, this point of what is your belief system, this is what makes the difference. Feel like the Lord's good to everybody else but you? I'll tell you what the problem is. It's not him. It's you. You have a belief system. Have you gotten around a person that's been hurt by everybody, and they're telling you a story that they've been hurt by everybody? And I've learned, I'm old enough now to go, I'm going to be careful with this person, because if their story is everybody's hurt them, I'll probably be the next person to hurt them, you know? You just learn. Like, that's something, there's a story behind that. There's more to that story. I've tried to be the hero a couple times. You learn quickly. Like, that's not a reason not to be kind to people or reach out, but I'm just saying. The Lord has this longing to be close to us. And if you don't feel like you're living in the favor of the Lord, there's probably something wrong with your belief system. That's where I would go. I'm telling you, you have to go there. Go after what's in you. So the Lord longs to be close. And this end of verse 2, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Verse 3, incline your ear, come to hear, your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So you want to tap into that, because David was just blessed. He even screwed up big time. Had an affair, then had the woman's husband murdered, you know, by choice, on purpose. Not a good story. You don't want that to show up on your resume. And yet the Lord never withdraws his favor from him. He dealt with him. He had to suffer some consequences because of those sins, but the Lord never withdraws his love or his favor from him. This favor keeps following him. The mercies keep following him. So unless you can outdo David and his sin and his, you know, his nasty stuff, then there's still a chance for you and me. It's very important that you get here and you embrace it and start confessing it. And I related recently, I started to have fear about people I love and the grandson and whatever, fear something's going to happen. And just getting torn. That's not my normal, but it kicked in recently. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm not like this, but it was coming. And so I immediately like, Lord, I gotta deal with this. Like anytime I have fear, I immediately pray and commit that fear to the Lord. That's my normal. That's how I function. It's not super spiritual. It's just a moment's prayer. Lord, protect me from this harm. Protect me from this situation. Protect who I love from this. And so this thing starts coming. And so I make a declaration based on this. I'm going to tap into the sure mercies of David. And it took some courage in my, this is all in my private personal world. And I make this declaration. Everyone I love is supernaturally protected. Fear comes, I start declaring that. It's powerful. And I know there's nothing I can do that's more powerful than that. And when I do that, I have peace. If it comes back in 5 minutes, I declare it again. And if the enemy wants to keep tormenting me about it, I'll get on a roof and I'll say it louder. I'll do more damage with it. That's my declaration. Everyone I love and everything I love is supernaturally protected. It's my declaration. In order to do that, you've got to start believing that the mercies of David, the favor of the Lord follows you. If you don't believe that, you won't be able to pray that. And God can't help you with that till you tap into it, till you choose it. So this whole chapter is just so good, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and it's full of promise, and he tells us in verse 8 and 9, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, and this invitation, come in, and verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So the word of the Lord has come to all of you that are believers. The word of the Lord came to you. That word came to you. And here's the deal with the Lord's word. When I send it, it doesn't come back to me void. So if you have to acknowledge, like if we're going to twist your arm and force you, if you acknowledge, even if by force, has the word of the Lord come to you that you know Jesus is Lord, that you know that you're his child, that you know he's called you? If it's come to you, whether you're doing well with it or not, I don't want to hear it. Like, it doesn't matter. Just, has it come to you? Do you acknowledge? Yes. Yes, he's called me. He chose me. I said yes to him. It came to, then you have this promise that the word will not come back void, because it's not about you. It's about him and his word. His word comes. It doesn't come back void. It when it comes back, it's accomplished what it's sent to do. Word comes to you, and it's like, it's bigger than you. It's better than you. It'll get to your junk. Like, that hopelessness you have that you'll never change, that you can't overcome something, that you'll always be this person that you don't like. Start taking confidence and making declaration about the word that the Lord has sent to you. And if it doesn't come to you, you don't know. Like, you need this to come. It's sovereign. The Lord, if the Lord's call, and you know he's real, and you've been able to believe in his son Jesus, that's not by chance. There's a lot of people that don't have that. That's not come to them. That's not come to them. Once that comes and you're face to face, you know it's real. You can't explain it, but you know it's real. I know the Lord's calling me. I know he wants me. My heart's pounding. I've got to say yes to him. It's a big deal. That's a big deal. And if you said yes, bam, you received the word. The word came, and it's not going to come back without performing everything that it had to do. So we took this passage and we jumped over to Isaiah 61 and we start looking at Jesus, his inheritance word, about what he would be and the word of the Lord in him, and that he would give. He would give. His ministry would be to give beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, the mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This exchange. And so there's an exchange that the Lord needs to take that from you, and he'll give you this gift. And I think we have a big problem right here. I know, I'm convinced of it, because we have so many believers walking around. You've even received the gifts, but you forget about the gift, and all, and you still have ashes to put on your forehead. You're still wearing ashes. You're still in mourning, and you're still in heaviness. Your predominant mode is heaviness. You put on a garment of praise, and you got that look on your face. I always tease, I'll get in trouble again for this with Phyllis, but you know that thing that always happens at home, you know, your wife puts on stuff before she goes out, and how's this look? Do I look fat? You know, whatever you say, you know, you all say it. We all say it. Guys are just as vain. And the fate, yeah, I'm dead. I'm like a cat. Nine lives, man. I've got a lot of lives. But it's how she comes when she asks, because she doesn't feel good at it in the first place, whatever it is. And she has this frown on her face, like this really bad look on her face. How does this look? I'm like, I can't get past the look on your face. I don't know how it looks. It's immaterial. Phyllis, it's such a good illustration. And in the midst of this, I have a question. Somebody forgot their shoes, like. Just saying. Yeah. If you're having the joy of listening to the podcast on this, there are a pair of white high heel shoes laying on the floor off to the side of me. And no woman around to be wearing them. So, yeah. Just strange. But let me ask you, is that you? You have on the garments, you have on the things the Lord's given you, but the countenance, like the belief systems, like, good God, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, you look terrible. Because of the countenance, the belief, the feeling, like, forget it. It doesn't matter whether you look good in it or not. You don't believe you do, so you're cooked. Yeah? So here's the Lord giving us these gifts and even the description of giving a garment. And we're all dressed up for a wedding. We've got ashes on our faces. And it's like, I hope you know that's not makeup. You look like you're going to a funeral. Like, because we're so overwhelmed with the stuff. Why? Because we still have it. We didn't do the transaction. And what a perfect illustration of our credit, our cards, our debit cards, our credit cards. You put it in that machine. I knew, you don't understand this. I mean, we've had to be taught, don't swipe, chip, not swipe. Then you put in the chip. Oh, I'm sorry, our chip doesn't work. You have to slide, So it's been a funny thing. I'm like, and then I start gawking around. I'm not watching the screen because it gives you instructions. Push here, tap this, say yes, say no, whatever. And I'm looking around the store waiting for something to happen. The cashier's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I've got to concentrate. I'm looking at the screen. Read the screen and do what the screen tells you to do. But on a good day anyways, that thing works. I was at a gas station the other day, and whoosh, whoosh, I mean, right away, approved, remove your card. I'm like, wow, that thing's fast. That one was fast. It was a supersonic one. But it's a beyond our, you don't understand that. Don't pretend like you do. You're just following instructions. Put in the card. I don't know what happens. How does that work? It goes all the way to some place. Goes, oh, you're approved. How do you know I'm approved? Transaction accepted. Please remove your card. Beep, 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 So it may as well be supernatural because we don't have ability to understand it unless you're one of those geeks that do, but I mean, there's a few of you around probably. Yeah, I suppose I have a couple of them. It's funny that any school teachers come to this church because I graduated from high school with a D+ or something like that, so. It's just funny, who the Lord uses. Don't you think that's funny? I'm an educated person, and my pastor got out of high school, escaped by the skin of his teeth with a D+. I looked at my transcripts one day. I'm kind of depressed. I'm like, oh, my God, that's worse than I thought. I didn't even have a C average. I mean, I'm just barely, I don't know why they let me out. Probably I'm getting rid of it. I didn't want to be there. Do the exchange. We need the exchange. And the exchange is a little bit it's got mystery to it. But stop giving up because you don't understand it with your mind. We need the transaction. We need to leave the payment. And all that's all the Lord's asking for. Give me your junk. Give me your ashes. And I know we're still carrying it around. You let me know sooner or later. I know you still got your stuff. You're still mourning over things. Phyllis mentioned we lost our cat. That stupid, my cat was a Democrat. I loved her. Full-blown Democrat. She was into that catch and release program. And I mean, she was like, I was going to have to go find an ICE agent to deal with the stuff at home. At one point a few months ago, there were two Mexicans and a Honduran in my basement, like two chipmunks and a rabbit. I'm not even making this up. We'll be sitting down watching television. I look off to the side. I hear she has a certain sound when she has something. I know the sound. I'm like, I'll wake up out of a dead sleep. That cat brought something into the house through the dog door. Sure enough. Sitting on the couch watching something on television, I look over. There she is. I'm like, let that go. Don't you let that go. And I'm praying that Phyllis doesn't look across the living room to see that she has another mouse right there by the door, and she lets it go because that's the game. Catch, release. Into the room it goes, behind the door, under the dresser. She can't get it. I had to remove several mice out of the one our spare room, because the cat released them again. And then she's just so entitled, always asking for treats. Whole bowl of food that was never enough. More, more, more. She was a socialist. I told somebody that I'm going to have to deal with this thing with the cat, I'm probably going to have to put her out. And Phyllis looked at me and said, somebody's going out. I was thinking, she's serious.
Lord, it's outdoor though.
I don't fit through the dog door. And then all of a sudden my cat comes up. Phyllis, you sure you didn't do something to the cat? And this is so ridiculous. Why do we, become attached to these ridiculous animals, And we're like, she's not here. I mean, she never doesn't not show up for whatever. Every morning she's there getting tweets. tweets. And she's gone. That was earlier in the week. And you just have this like, wow, there's this thing. Like, I miss her. The ridiculous thing, she'd follow me around the house. If I was in my study, she'd come, sit at my feet. She would follow me, like, not bother me. Very seldom do that, but come wherever if I was there, she was there. And, all of a sudden, they're gone. Like, we lose things, and it puts us in this morning. I don't even know what to do with that. Like, I lost my cat, but it's a feeling. But I'm like, should I talk to somebody about this? I miss my cat. I'm laughing now, but I miss her. Like, wow. If I'd be at the church, she'd be out here waiting for me when I walked down. Like, I'm telling you, she was like a dog, more of a dog than, what were you saying, Chris?
Supposed to not make a choice.
The ice agent. I'm telling you, but these are the things, but with the Lord, like, when you learn, you take those things to Him. I've learned a long time ago, I hurt myself like any other man, but I don't swear, cuss, and, throw things. I watched my father have a really bad temper about that as I grew up, and I'm like, dude, you're ridiculous, and this is very uncomfortable that you're, like, off the rails because, you lost something, you forgot something, or, it's not the end of the world. He practiced that, and he was good at it. He was a really nice guy till something like that went on, then blah, 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 off it went. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And I learned if I hurt myself, I acknowledge it. Like, oh, that hurts. I don't have to swear. I don't have to be a fool. I don't have to get mad at anybody else. Like, just saying, oh, that hurt. Wow, that really hurts. Ah, ooh, ow, ooh, ooh, And it's simple. And the same with heart wounds and things. If you learn to just bring it to the Lord, like, the anger we have often has to do with not processing pain right. Anger is almost always directly connected to pain. And when you don't do the right thing with pain, it turns into something ugly. But if you'll acknowledge the pain, the anger won't even have to show up. Just go, oh, that hurt. Like, when your heart gets hurt, just acknowledge it and take it to the Lord because He wants to comfort you. He understands the loss. He really does. And so let me close again today with this scripture out of Psalms 23 that I was just directed back to this simple thing, but I still keep meditating on it. There's a table. The Lord wants a supernatural table. The Lord wants you to come to, and He says in verse 5 of Psalms 23 that we're so familiar with, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And at that table, there can be an encounter. And the Lord wants you to come to the table He prepares for you. Everything you need is at this table. It can be far-reaching what the definition of it is, but you need to come to the table of exchange and transformation where you bring your stuff, your ashes, your heaviness, your mourning, the list is just as long as you need it to be, and come and lay it there and believe in this supernatural exchange. He wants to meet you there, encounter you there. And the next phrase is, He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. That's a good day. Until you understand that or get even a little bit of hunger for it, you're like, what's that? When you feel the anointing, when the Lord anoints you and your cup runs over, that is something money cannot buy. Here's the exchange. Come buy from me, receive from me without money, without cost. come and sit at this table and let and bring your junk and your stuff and let me give to you and pour out to you, and I'll my presence will come, and I will anoint you. And that anointing is so overwhelming and so powerful. I don't care who you are, man, woman, young, old, you encounter the Spirit of the Lord, you're not the same again. And you encounter it in a greater dimension, it's there for all of us. Hunger, desire for it, ask for it, wait on it. And this waiting thing is so, it's so important. We must learn to wait on the Lord and stop all this rush to provide for ourselves and fix things. Now, I wanted to, you know, Phyllis and I, we've got a refrigerator. We found a refrigerator. I think we saved over $400 for this refrigerator. But here was the catch. It's beautiful, it's nice enough, but it's simple enough. It doesn't have all the rigmarole on it. It's like we worked this out. We took our time, we made a good decision, and it was like, and it's really nice and all these things, but it's not, and it doesn't have one of those filters that costs $50 every 6 months. I mean, in a year and a half, we'll pay for our service agreement, which you better get with our appliance these days. And, we're happy, but here was the catch. But we can't get it for you for a month. Is your old one working? No, it's dead. It's gone. It gave up the ghost. It's just an empty shell sitting in our kitchen taking up space so it doesn't look bad. And I looked at Phyllis. She goes, no, yeah, let's wait. Now, waiting means, especially now that the grandson's there sometime, a baby gate into the foyer, a door, down the steps, and out to the garage refrigerator that now looks like it's been jammed full of, you know, whatever. And you take one thing out, and five other things roll down out on the garage floor. Like, it's, you know, it's not that convenient. But, you know, isn't it funny? We would have almost, we could have given up that deal to have what we really wanted, what was just right, because we had to wait, right? We got to have a refrigerator. No, it's just a convenience. You'd be amazed. You can live well. God bless, you know, my wife for being, yeah, let's just wait. It's more of a price to her, but let's wait. We can wait. Those that wait on the Lord, can you wait for some things? There's a whole nother realm in the waiting. He's in the waiting. That's not a bad thing. It's actually a good place to be, in a place where you're just waiting on the Lord. It's where you worship, you pray. It's not a boring place. It's a place where you go, I'm going to put my affection on you. There's this thing. There's this big thing I need, whatever it may be for you. There's this emergency I have over here, but I'm out of control of that, and I want you to supply, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait for you to do that. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to keep laying these things on the altar before you and wait for you to do what you're going to do. So today I want to, and maybe other things as well, but I want to pray for you, anyone, whosoever, you desire that supernatural exchange to take place. I know your stories. I've been holding this. I've been asking the Lord. I've been, you know, an unforgiveness that needs to manifest in your life, or something. Mourning, the mourning that needs to leave, the heaviness that needs to be lifted, the provision that needs to take place, the relationship that needs healed, or whatever it is. You need to experience the exchange. You need to come and really give it to the Lord, and you might have to do this every day for the next month. What if you had to do that every morning? You had to resubmit it, put the credit card in, doesn't work, error, beep beep beep, I'm like, I know this is good, let's, you know, put it in again, beep beep beep, not work, whatever, third time's a charm. Same thing with my computer. Any of you get frustrated with your computer? And something, a new program you're putting in, you put it in, you fire it up, nope, it's not working. Do it again. I don't know why two or three times all of a sudden it works. What I'll go, I don't even get that. Forget it. Whatever. We're moving on. It's working. Things I don't understand why it takes several times for it to kick in. All of a sudden it does. We're good. Let's go. Let's go with this. And on some of these things with the Lord, I don't know why it works for that person first prayer. And you're on number 487, you know, just under 490, 7 times 70. Yeah? So, Adam, could you put on some, I'm going to get prayer music, and... And I told Phyllis, I said, I need to just be more diligent about praying for people and praying a prayer of faith. That is usually how the Lord works with me. Whether it's people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if you haven't had received that, the baptism, we want to be more consistent about praying for you to receive that. And I have prayed and people over people that have received, but not normally when I'm praying for them. A prayer of faith, I use that term, meaning I pray a prayer, and then I entrust the Lord to do this, wherever, whenever, however he wants to do. So if there's anything that you want prayer for today, come up, and especially something where you need this exchange to happen. You don't understand it, that's good. I don't understand the exchanges that happen, the transactions, how they actually work. I just know the Lord wants to give you beauty for your ashes. And this time, you need to leave the ashes with him. He wants to give you the oil of joy for mourning. This time, he wants to keep the mourning. You go away with the oil of joy. He wants to give you a garment of praise. Do you know how beautiful a person is that is just wearing praise? You affect everything. Wearing joy, you affect the atmosphere. Do you understand how transformational it is? I take my grandson to the store. It doesn't matter where you take him. If you're taking him, he stares people down to look at him, and then he smiles. And I'm like, kid, you're good for me. Like, I don't connect that well out there in the world, but he just opens up. I'm telling you, people start gathering around, and it's that smile. He looks at him, and he smiles. I'm like, people are like, oh, you're a charmer. You're like whatever. A smile. Just a smile, just a big, great old smile. When someone, have you not experienced this when a stranger just gives you a real sincere smile? You may not say one word to them, but you're like, wow, that felt good. That was neat. That got me. They're probably believers that do that. That's where I think the supernatural thing is that in that. The sincere, pure, the joy. You want to be that person. When you have that joy, you carry that joy. And we're trying to convert everybody to, you know, and that's a good, not a bad thing, it's good, but we're trying to do it joyously. We're not offering anything attractive. We're just like, hey, how about you become miserable like me? That's, you know, that's what we're... but when there's something like, you're different. When they say, hey, you're different. There's something different about you. That's what you want. That's that beauty of the Lord that's on you. And you could all have it. Doesn't matter what you're wearing, whether your top matches your bottom, whether it doesn't matter. All that stuff that we think matters so much, it doesn't matter that much. But that radiates the countenance that radiates what's in. So, simple prayers today. If you want prayer, you need an exchange to take place. You need to give something to the Lord. You need what he has to offer in replace of it, and you need to leave it there. Come and get prayer. And if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just tell me that. I will pray a prayer of faith.